Judges chapter 7. We're in a series on Gideon. And we've watched God change this man right in front of our own eyes. He's, you know, Israel and Gideon are intimidated by this huge mass of Arabian nomadic warriors, the Midianites. For 7 years, they have come marauding and destroying and traipsing over the land, and they've eaten up all the crops. They show up every spring and summer when the harvest has come in, and they eat the crops, and they kill the livestock. And the Bible literally says they ruin the land. They leave Israel nothing. Gideon is called then, "Hi Gideon, you mighty," say it with me, "mighty man of valor." And he was certainly not feeling that way at that time. God had to work with Gideon to make his provision his vision. How many know that where you are positionally by the scriptures doesn't always match where you are experientially? And so God's working with us to get us there. God overcomes Gideon's limitation of calling. Have you ever limited the calling of God because you said, "I can't"? Yeah. It sounds like that too, can't I? That little whiny, "I can't." That's what Moses sounded like. "Go deliver my people. I can't." Remember? How about you and me? Are we like that at all with God? See, God calls Moses and changes him. In the same way he calls Gideon, it changes him. Now he sends him. First, remember, Gideon had to deal with idolatry in his own family. He had to cut down the grove that was on his father's land. Our first thing, if we're going to be a deliverer for other people, is we've got to get our own lives clean. You know, amen? Someone say amen. We've got to get our own lives clean. Got rid of the worship of Baal and the idol worship. His dad was upset. He was upset at the Baal worshippers because they were upset at Gideon. They wanted to kill him. And the dad says, "Look, Baal didn't defend himself. So how can you try to kill my son? Forget it." And Gideon's faith actually stirred up faith in his dad. So Gideon knows that God's begun to change him. He's giving him new images, new beliefs about what God has made him to be. And he's asked God for confirmation. Last week we talked about the fleece. And remember the couple of times. See, the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. Well, that can happen naturally. But the other supernatural sign that he asked for was dry fleece and wet ground. And oftentimes some people have said that that refers to when the fleece was wet, it was the anointing upon Israel, and the rest of the world was dry without the Holy Spirit poured out. And then Israel rejected the Lord, and so the fleece is dry and the Holy Spirit's poured out on others. There's lots of different reasons or perspectives as we look at the fleece. I think one of the most important things of the fleece story is the fact that God loved Gideon so much he gave him a sign and confirmation. A lot of people have ruined their lives trying to look for signs and crowbar them in that aren't meant to be there, but that was clearly a supernatural act from a gracious God who loved Gideon and helped him to show him that he was ready for the calling and the next step. So, what's the next test? What's the next test? God wants the glory. Say it with me. God wants the glory. Judges chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Judges chapter 7. We're going to be in the first 8 verses of chapter 7 this morning. Judges 7, 1 and 2. Mostly I'll be reading from the New King James Bible. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and Baal, or Jerubbaal, means Baal will contend or strive. But Baal was impotent in the face of a living faith. So Jerubbaal, Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, please read it with me, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" Now, get a picture of what's going on. 135,000 nomadic warriors with camels that will be high-speed camels. They can haul 100 miles through the desert in a day and go raid other places. These are powerful people, 135,000. And Gideon has 32,000. Now, God's tested him. He's worked with him. But it's almost like God's sense of humor, you know, to look back on. Can you imagine that? Now, Gideon's maybe feeling, okay, we got big odds here, but I know God is with me, and we can do that. And then God says, okay, you got a bunch of people too much to fight with. Excuse me? I got too many to fight with? We're overrun by these people. But God says, I don't want you saying that the glory was yours. I don't want you taking credit for what I've done. And I'm going to demonstrate to my people that it's me. By the way, how many know you're in a living relationship with God? Come on. You know you're in a living, you know what that means? It's ongoing. If you think that you give your life to Jesus, He changes you once and for all, that's it for the rest of your life. How many know you got another story coming? Okay? How many in this room are married or ever been married? How many know that your relationship keeps taking work? Look at each other and say, it takes work. But relationship, it's not static. It's not just a one-time relationship. Covenant relationship means I hang in there, you hang in there, we're going to change, and we're going to rub each other's sharp edges off, and we're going to both learn to be more like Jesus. By the way, that's what it's like in a church, right? Oh, no, Pastor Kev, there are no sharp edges on anyone in this church. But we grow, and we help, and we stand with each other. But it's ongoing relationship. So, too, with Gideon. God's got this relationship going with Gideon, giving him new images, new beliefs, a new sense of calling, but he's got to keep him growing. We are, what the Bible says, transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. Okay, you've already given your life to Jesus. Aren't I there? The people in this room who are exactly just like Jesus already, will you please raise your hand? The people who think you have some more growth room left in your life, please raise your hand. Okay. All right. So that's the point. There's some relationship, and God has to keep him growing. And just like relationship with one another, it takes work, it takes daily strength, it takes the presence of God, it takes a commitment and a covenant to keep on growing. We're saved by grace. That has nothing to do with it. But we are transformed by our cooperation with Jesus. Gideon's been through so much. God's already proven so much to himself, and now he's got something else. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, just write it down if you're taking notes. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 tells us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. He sometimes does things for his purposes that we don't get. Come on. How many understand everything God's doing in your life? How many wish you did? All right. Sometimes God just asks for our obedience. And our understanding comes later. John 7:17. Say it with me, please. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Sometimes you know what the will of God is, and you know the doctrine, you understand the principle of God, and you step out and obey him. Sometimes you don't understand what God's asking you to do, but you step out and obey Him. And as you do so, it becomes clear. So the issue is our surrender and our obedience to God. This is one of the times where God wants His son Gideon to be obedient. God's been loving, patient. He's proven Himself. And now He says, Gideon, I want you to obey me again. You have just entirely too many soldiers on your hands. And God wants the glory. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The Bible says there's no glory in the strength of the legs of a man or the legs of a horse. The issue isn't how big your armaments are. It's important to be strong in our defense. It's important to have armaments. But how many understand that ultimately the protection of the United States of America is by the hand of God? And church, we got to get right if we want that protection from God. Someone say amen. So, 32,000 soldiers. God says, too many. lest Israel, the King James word is, lest Israel vaunt itself against the Lord. Claim glory for itself. The King James word vaunt is the Hebrew, pa'ar. Say it with me, please. Pa'ar. And it means to gleam, to embellish, to boast, to explain, to glorify self. How easy it is. Come on, sometimes maybe you've done it too. Where God, you know, God supernaturally met you, delivered you, helped you. But it became a little later, I prepared, I did it all, and God met me. Now, we don't think like that, but sometimes it's slipping into that. How many know, my wife was ill for a long time, and she made it through so many hurdles, over so many mountains and in valleys and everything. And we were always grateful to our doctors. But with our doctors, we would look at them and say, we are grateful to you for all of your help, but we thank God ultimately for his healing. I only had one or two get offended because it was them who did the work. But how many know that it's God who brings the healing? Thank God. Thank God. You can be grateful for others, but God's not going to share his glory. He wants to share his life with us, but he wants to receive the praise. Be sure to give the glory to God. Okay, if you give him the glory, Jesus can use you. How many want to be used like Gideon? All right, let's be sure to give him the glory. I saw a hand go quickly down. I'm not sure I want to be used like Gideon. Okay, but like Gideon, you can move forward in life as a deliverer for other people. Let's be careful to, number one, give him the glory. Number two, fear-free living. Fear-free living. Turn to each other and say, this is a fear-free zone. Judges 7, verse 3. Judges 7, verse 3. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart. How quickly? Next week? Go to battle with me and then go home? No, he says, I want them out of here at once from Mount Gilead. Please say the next phrase with me. And 22,000 of the people returned. And 10,000 remained. 22,000 people walked away. Incredible. There are only 32,000 against 135,000. Can you imagine what must have been going on? I mean, Gideon said, okay, Lord. Okay, if you want me to tell them if they're afraid, go home. Take it, maybe 10, 20 people only, because this is Israel. They're tough soldiers. So 5, 10, maybe, okay, I'll obey you, Lord. How many are fearful here? You can go home. 22,000 people walk out on him. That's enough to create a little stress in your life, don't you think? Wait a minute! God says, I want him out of here at once. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. Watch what the Lord does. Watch what this says. Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. I'm going to share it in different versions here. Watch this. We think no big deal. We think fear, no big deal. Watch. The officer shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house. Read the last phrase with me. Lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. New American Standard. So that he might not make his brother's hearts melt like his heart. The NIV. So that his brothers will not become disheartened too. The Message. Watch this. So that he doesn't infect his followers with his timidity and cowardly spirit. The fear that the devil brings and people yield to is like an infectious process that will destroy, defeat, and create a fear zone rather than a fear-free zone. Turn to each other and say, this is a fear-free zone. So God says, I want you to get the people out of there that are going to infect the faith of my people. Wow. Do you understand that our faith, that our attitude completely impacts and affects each other? As the community of faith, we need to stand together in faith. Move your chairs a little closer together. We need to sit together in faith. All right? A community of faith. 69% of the crowd went home. Now, I'm just going to make an aside. Don't even have this in my notes. This is just for free. I think it's very interesting. There are incredible mega churches throughout America and throughout the world. Do you know one of the biggest concerns as the pastor of that church would be? Are they really of faith? Because the command of the Scripture is to make disciples. Now, did you hear prophetically this morning? It doesn't matter about the numbers. What matters is about our obedience, our faith, our walk with God. All right, maybe we're not several hundred people. I wanted to be several hundred people strong 10 years ago. I'd like to have started there. God's called us to faithfulness and obedience. Is who is with you, full of faith, as a disciple in the Lord. Turn to each other, say, I affect you, and you affect me. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? How many know that the phrase, fear not, is in the Bible, some say, 365 times, one for every day of the year? Fear not. Say it again. Fear not. One more time. Fear not. Once for every day of the year. First greeting of the angels when they come on the scene usually is, fear not. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Out of the New American Standard. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Watch it out of the NIV. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Now, in the Greek, the word for timidity and fear is delias. Say that word. Delias literally means cowardice. How many understand God did not birth you in His Spirit to fill you with a spirit of cowardice? God wants men and women of God who rise up as the army of the Lord in the earth today, taking and bringing dominion, bringing His kingdom on earth as it is. Isn't that in agreement with the prayer of Jesus? Bringing His kingdom where? Where? Yeah. Timidity, cowardice won't get the job done. That doesn't mean we have to run in and shove people over on their chairs. But when you walk in the room, the presence of God walks in that room. When you go to the grocery store, when you're with your family, when you're with friends, when you're on your job, when you're at retirement parties, wherever you are, the Spirit of the Lord is there inside of you, working to get out of you. Don't restrain Him. Let Him out. Now, in times of testing, you need to be surrounded by people of faith. Who's walking closest to you in your life? Is it a person of faith? A person who will strengthen you in your walk with Jesus? That's why Jesus tells us not to be unequally yoked. The one with no faith will harm your faith. How many know it's a lot easier to pull somebody off of the table than for the person on the table to pull them up? Now, it doesn't mean you don't have, you're a wimpy Christian. It simply means spend the majority of your time with people of faith. People who will strengthen you. People who will encourage you. People who will cheer for you. You're going to look at them and say, here's what Jesus is doing in my life, and here's what I feel God calls me to do. You want to be next to somebody who says, go for it. I'll be praying for you the whole time, and I love you and support you, brother. I love you and support you, sister. Run after Jesus. Don't you think that's a little more helpful than somebody who goes, you're crazy. Fear-free living. That's why we come to church, to be a community of faith. Let me ask you a sincere question. Are you stronger in the Lord when you come to church than when you stay away? Now, sometimes you have something comes up and you have to go. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about as an attitude of faith, when you're in the house of God, are you strengthened and closer to Jesus than when you're not? Who's with you in times of illness, in times of trouble, in times of despair, spiritual attack? Surround yourself with people of faith who are going to encourage you in Jesus. You can love everybody, and we should, but not everybody should be hung around with. You get it? You understand what I'm saying? Love everybody, but not everybody should be hung around with. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Watch what this means. Communications is the Greek hameia, and it means literally companionship. Literally, in the Greek, that word is companionships. The word corrupts is phrithro, and it means to shrivel, to wither, to spoil, to ruin. Good manners means good positive habits. Literally, that verse means evil companionship ruins good moral habits. 1 Corinthians 15, now a few different versions. Trying to do that this morning so you see it out of different versions. Evil company corrupts good habits. The New American Standard. Bad company corrupts good morals. NIV. Bad company corrupts good character. Hang out with people who are going to strengthen you. Okay? Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Who are you going to believe? Who's going to believe you? People of faith. Listen to faith. Feed on faith. Encourage each other in faith in the Lord. Job's wife said, curse God and die. Good thing he didn't listen to her. Amen? Believe in Jesus. Be closest to those who also believe. Now, closest. We still have to have relationships with people who don't know him so we can lead them to Jesus. But do your hanging around closest with people who are going to encourage you in the Lord. Somebody, if you're with somebody who constantly pulls you down, it's time for a new friendship. 1 Samuel 14:6. Okay, you might say, well, gee, you know, then I'm gonna be alone, or maybe Gideon could have said, Lord, we're few in number. How can we do this? Watch what the Scripture says. Nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by a few. 1 Samuel 14:6 out of the NIV. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or few. Out of the Message. This is great. There's no rule that says God can only deliver by using a big army. No one can stop God from saving when he sets his mind to it. God wants to build you, strengthen you, edify you, encourage you in your most holy faith. Let your fastest friends be those who are also of faith. But again, wonder what Gideon was thinking when 22,000 got up and went home. All we read is, he continued on with God. Point number three. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Judges 7:4-8. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I'll test them for you there. Now, hopefully, Vern, would you get the lights? Maybe you can see these. This is the water by the cave of Habor, and I don't know if you can see it, but I've been to this spot in Israel, and there's a big swimming pool there now, but there's a gate across it, and this is where Gideon most likely took his soldiers for the next test. And that's what the water comes out from, what's called the cave of Gideon, and this is where this stream also appears that comes out of that place. So it's shallow, it's not big, but that gives you a perspective, if you'll turn the lights back on, please. The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I'll test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomsoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300. But the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. How do you think Gideon was feeling? So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he obeyed. He sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent. And he retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. God is looking for the ready. Those who have prepared themselves. What's in your heart? Are you ready to obey Jesus no matter what He asks you to do? To reach out to those who are difficult to reach, to show Him in the workplace, in the store, and when everybody else is crabby and full of fear and the economy is going into the clink? Are you ready to show and demonstrate faith when you're under spiritual attack? Are you able to demonstrate Jesus? Some say God was looking for the 300. Here's what He was looking for. People who had water secondly on their mind. But first, they were prepared and on the lookout to do what God had called them to do. To defend their country, to defend their people, to be about the business of God. Getting water was secondarily the passion of the people that God wanted to use. Coming out for number one was secondarily from the heart of the people God wanted to use. Commentaries will tell us that the kneeling position of those who got on all four to go in and gulp down that water was most likely the same kneeling position that the worshipers of Baal used in their worship. God wasn't interested in mixture. They weren't prepared. They were out for themselves to satisfy and quench their own thirst. And it didn't matter at that moment if somebody else might get attacked. They wanted what they wanted when they wanted. Now, anybody in this room ever felt that way about anything in life? Okay, you're not alone. The Lord wants prepared people. And I'm going to go through a set of scriptures that will remind you of where we've been. But first, before we get there, Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray, New Testament Christians, lest ye enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let's use an illustration to hang our hat on this. Watch what happens here in the next set of scriptures. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and, say it with me please, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the bridegroom was delayed. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Did you notice anything? All of them are virgins. All of them had lamps. All of them at least at one time had oil. All of them. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, say, no, lest there shouldn't be enough for us and you. But rather, go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also. They were still virgins. Then corrupted themselves with the world. They just ran out of oil. Church, how's your walk with Jesus today? How about a fresh filling with the Holy Spirit today? Are you allowing your daily obedience, time of the Word, time with Him, to slip? Or are you keeping your lamp full of fresh oil? Because you never know when Jesus, the bridegroom, might come. Are you ready? Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, surely I say to you, what does He say? I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour which the Son of Man is coming. 10 virgins kept themselves pure, all had oil. The wise had extra. Five foolish ran out. 300 were ready for war. 300 were unafraid. 300 were standing with Gideon to do the will of God. 300 were ready and on hand. 31,700 soldiers went home. If we cooperate with God, He gets the glory. He wants us to believe in Him and surround ourselves with people of faith and people of belief for fear-free living. He wants us to be ready. It's a great day to serve the Lord. Ready with an answer. To stand together in faith and not fear. How many want to be like Gideon? Oh God, I know I may not be the strongest and the biggest in my family, but I'm here to serve You. Washed clean by the blood and the past is gone and I'm not worried about it. I've got fresh oil in my life and oh Jesus, use me and help me to bring Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven and help me to be in the soldier, a soldier in the army of God. I want to do what You want me to do, oh God, and more today than ever before. The hour is more important now than it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's time to be ready today for fear. Free living. High school graduate was told, you can't pray in Jesus' name. Just last week, some people who say they were agnostic and atheists took the issue to court and that local judge said, well, they're right. How many know that praying in the name of Jesus has never caused anybody harm? And how many know they'll give lots of room to be able to bow toward Mecca? Or anything else. You want witchcraft in your school for Halloween? You got it, baby. But don't pray in Jesus' name. Isn't it interesting? Only one name brings threat to the security of people who are going on their own way into sin. And they said, you can't pray in Jesus' name. And one high school girl, one little Gideonite, if you will. One little Gideon gal said, I don't believe in this. And she stood up. She stood up. What can one person do? She stood up. And she says, I do want to pray in Jesus' name. And in fact, though she cooperated with some of the things that they said she couldn't do, instead of fully cooperating, she said, I'm going to do this. And right there in front of God and everybody at her commencement, she said, only those who want to pray with me, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. And hundreds of kids joined in to pray the Lord's Prayer. What can one person do? What can you do? What can you do? Live a fear-free life. Be what God wants us to be. And enjoy obeying God like Gideon did. Does that sound like something you want? Let's stand. Let's stand. Musicians, come. Let's go back to the key of D. It's never been a day like this day. If you're here this morning and the Lord's working in your life, I urge you to be full of faith and not full of fear. Trust the Lord to do something great in your life, even this week. If you need prayer, come on up. We'll be happy to pray for you as we close. If you've not given your life to the Lord, let this be the day you do it. Thank you that indeed it's a great day to serve you. We give you praise and worship. And oh God, we go from this place this day with faith, knowing that you are in charge. And like Gideon, simple in his own eyes, and yet how big you were as he yielded in obedience to you. We do the same, Lord. We commit ourselves to following hard after you. We thank you for your mercy in our lives. And all the people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day and week in Jesus. Enjoy the sunshine.